of Senate Labor and Commerce to order for February 16th, and we have a whole lot of items on the agenda today, so we will have two other senators joining us shortly, but right now I have Senator Giesel, co-chair Senator Pascvan, and myself, Senator Egan, and we have, again, a very full agenda. We have number one, bills previously heard, Senate Bill 125, motor vehicle transactions, Senator Meyer sponsor, has no further referral, and it's our intention to try to get this bill out of committee. Senate Bill 149, tax credits for donations to dog mushing, sponsor Senator Thomas, has a further referral to finance, and it's our intention as well, since we've heard public testimony on this as well, to move this bill from committee. And then we have Senate Bill 175, practice of naturopathy, Senator McGuire, sponsor, has no further referral, and we have a new CS, and my staff, Dana Owen, will introduce the amendment. Then bills after naturopaths, we have Senate Bill 125, aid of participation in energy projects, has a further referral to Senate Finance. Senator McGuire is the sponsor of that piece of legislation. We will take public testimony on that bill and then hold it in committee for further action. Then we will hear originally Senate Bill 174, oil and gas industry job notifications. That has a further referral to finance, sponsor Senator French, and we will take public testimony on that bill if time permits today. So it's a very busy schedule, and thanks to senators for giving us a quorum. First thing on the agenda, Senate Bill 125, motor vehicle transactions. Sponsor Senator Meyer. Did you have any final comments, Senator Meyer?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know you got a full plate. I have no additional comments other than we think we've done a good job here of reaching a balance between the auto dealers, the consumer, the Attorney General's office, and we're just available for any questions the committee may have.
Great. Thank you, Senator Meyer. And, of course, public testimony is closed. There won't be anybody testifying on this piece of legislation. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pascvan.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move that we move Senate Bill 125 from this committee to the next committee or referral with individual recommendations and attach fiscal note.
Great. Thank you, Senator Pascvan. Objection? I'll take a brief at ease.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Thank you.
We'll reconvene the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee for February 16th. Right. And I apologize. We've been joined when we were in recess by Senator Betty Davis. And welcome, Senator.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda, Senate Bill 149, tax credits for donations to dog mushing. Sponsor, Senator Thomas. And is there a staff member from Senator Thomas's office here to answer any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, do any members of the committee have any questions? Because if we do, we'll have to hold this and take it up again. I think the testimony was all in favor last time, so Senator Passmann, do I have a motion?
Certainly, you know, I would just, as a preface to making the motion, you know, it's not a conflict, but I think it needs to be on the record. With the Yukon Quest, I was their lawyer at the beginning. I was their lawyer for many years. I sat on the board of directors for the Yukon Quest. You know, so I've got a long history with dog mushing, and I think that this is a bill that's heading in the right direction. So it's not a conflict, but just more as a representation of my history a little bit with this sport. So given that, Mr. Chair, I would move that this committee moves Senate Bill 149 from Labor and Commerce to the next committee, a referral with individual recommendations and a tax fiscal note.
Thank you, Senator Passmann. No objection. I'll take a brief at ease. Senate Labor and Commerce for February 16th at 1:40. And next on the agenda, Senate Bill 175, practice of naturopathy, and sponsor is Senator McGuire. We are continuing public testimony, and we have a CS that has been introduced, and to present that will be staff to Senate Labor and Commerce, Dana Owen. Mr. Owen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Dana Owen, staff to Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. The CS that you all should have in front of you, I have extra copies if you don't have one. The only change represents the incorporation of the amendment that Senator Giesel gave to the committee at our last hearing. So there have been no other changes except for that. This just incorporates it into one place so everybody can see what the bill does.
That would be
backslash B okay. Version.
Mr. Chair, I would move that we bring the CS for Senate Bill 175, identified as version backslash B as in boy, before this committee for purposes of discussion.
And I'll object
okay.
For purposes of public testimony. So, and Dana, can you tell us exactly where this it's on page 1, line 7?
I believe the bulk of this is in the new subsection, if I'm not mistaken. I'm trying to remember how the original bill went, but I believe the bulk of the Giesel amendment is in the second section
okay.
of the bill.
Right. I remember it now. Okay.
Right.
Senator Passmann.
And it's my understanding that what's now section 2, which is would be the subsection B to the statute, identifies that returns the practice to what has historically been done for the last 18 years.
Mr. Chairman, in the last hearing, we heard that in fact was the intention of that of the amendment. There's one slight elision to that. There were several words that Senator Giesel asked to be struck from her original amendment. They were more generic. I don't have those words in front of me at the moment, but the final version of the amendment that you saw and that you accepted at the table includes that. And the reason that I mention that is that the intent of the amendment was to bring into the statutes the language that was originally covered in regulations, so that has been the intention of the amendment, and we did that almost. The Giesel amendment does that almost wholesale, with the exception of that one small change.
Senator Giesel, do you want to add?
Would you like me to speak to that?
Yes.
It's on page
It actually is on page 2, and in line 1, at the end of that line, it says a dietetic remedy. In regulation, it currently says a dietetic substance. I simply changed that word to remedy. But then all of section C, starting on line 3 through lines 13, were the amendment. These capture, again, the words from regulation with one deletion, and that's in item number 2 on lines 7 and 8. Herbal remedy means a substance derived from or a concentrate or extract of a plant, tree, root, moss, or fungus. And deleted is this phrase, or other natural substance. Or other natural substance was in regulation. I removed it from here because it seemed to be a source of confusion. Otherwise, this is exactly as regulations read.
Thank you, Senator Giesel. Question, Senator Pascott.
So just to make sure, the deletion of the phrase or other natural substances doesn't change the practice for the last 18 years, is that?
That was my discussion with Dr. Jasper, who felt it did not change the practice. We can certainly call him up and ask him to confirm that.
I just,
that's my understanding, however. Yes.
That was my understanding of what I believe his testimony was. I just want to make sure that that intent is focused and on the record.
That was my intent, yes.
Thank you, Senators. Further questions from Mr. Roll? Seeing none, we'll take a brief at ease to get the...
I have lived in Alaska since 1965 and currently live in Douglas. And my career has been involved in the practice of clinical medicine, obstetrics and gynecology, as well as public health and preventive medicine. Thank you for the privilege of talking with you today. I've come to talk about Senate Bill 175, and I have the following questions that I would like to offer for you. I'm sorry I do not have the committee substitute. I did not get that, so I can't speak to the changes in that, but I will speak to the original. Senator Liesl McGuire indicated in her communication of February 1 that naturopaths indicate that this measure is needed because some pharmacies have recently refused to supply them, naturopaths, with natural or herbal medicines and are doing so because of instructions from the Alaska Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing. Well, that struck me as a bit unusual, and in the spirit of transparency and lack of any stated documentation of facts or other data that I could find, I would like to know, and I think it would be appropriate before we put this in statute or otherwise change regulation, just what the nature of the problem is as designated by, quote, some pharmacies and by the Alaska Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, and by the naturopaths themselves. I have not seen any of these data, and I think that is important for the people to know before we change regulations and statutes. Senator McGuire also indicated that Senate Bill 175 would expand the scope of practice. She said that it would not expand the scope of practice, but rather it would protect the practice. Now, my question about that is, what is it that needs protection in statute that is not provided in the regulatory language that has an 18-year history? Very important question that I believe we need to answer. Of the thousands of biopharmaceuticals, many from concentrates and extracts, for which the Food and Drug Administration has authority, it would be very helpful to know which specific drugs, medicines, and pharmaceuticals the naturopaths wish to have prescriptive authority. That does not appear to be clear in this regulation. I draw to your attention this book here, which some of you will know as the Physician Desk Reference, the PDR. It is a concentrate, if you will, of the medicines which the medical profession uses in our prescriptive authority. It is a Bible of pharmacy and therapeutics, as it were. What I'm wondering is, do the naturopaths want prescriptive authority for all of this? If one reads the language of Senate Bill 175, at least the copy that I have, notwithstanding, a person who practices naturopathy may give, prescribe, or recommend in the practice a prescriptive drug that is derived from a concentrate and an extract, etc. And now I see that you wish to remove or other natural substance. A definition of extract is this. An extract is a concentrated preparation of vegetable or animal drug which has been obtained. Furthermore, a concentrate is a drug or other preparation that has been strengthened. If one looks at the contents of this and many others, you will appreciate that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of everything that is in this book at one time is or was an extract or a concentrate. It could include aspirin. It could include plant material. It could include quinine. It could include oncology drugs, many, many, many of which come from extracts or concentrates. It is unclear to me exactly what the naturopaths really want. We have had some anecdotal information as to why this bill, SB 175, was created. And again, I would say in the interest of transparency, I don't know if any of those anecdotal pieces of information are true. I think we don't know what happened, why it happened, and what is needed in the eyes of the naturopaths to change it. It is my view that Senate Bill 175, as presented, is truly not within the scope of the statutes and regulations for naturopaths, as I read in the March 2008 edition. A major concern is the apparent lack of documentation or information as to why the changes in regulation or statute are really, really needed. I'll be pleased to answer any questions you may have, and I have left a copy of most of my presentation for you all to review.
Great. Thank you, Dr. Brock. Question?
Do we have that?
Pardon?
Yes. Do we have
yes.
That? Okay.
Should be in the packet.
Okay.
I just received it. But
we just received it. But we'll get to members. And we have, thank you very much, Dr. Brown. No questions. Next to testify is Dr. Bobby Arata. Dr. Arata, welcome. And if you can provide your name, for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
Thank you, Senator Egan, and members of this committee for considering my testimony. My name is Dr. Bob Urata. I was born and raised in Wrangell, Alaska. I have practiced family medicine in Juneau since 1984, and I'm here to speak against Senate Bill 175. I am against this bill because under its current somewhat ambiguous language, it would expand the scope of practice of naturopathy by giving prescriptive authority for prescription drugs. Because it is not specific and could be interpreted broadly, they will be able to prescribe penicillin and cephalosporin antibiotics, which are derived from fungus, streptomycin and gentamicin tetracycline antibiotics, and macrolide antibiotics, which come from the fungus actinomyces. Paclitaxel is a chemotherapeutic drug that comes from a yew tree. It's used to treat ovarian cancers, among other types of cancers. Morphine comes from opium plants, and I understand they're not supposed to prescribe controlled substances. The heart medicine digoxin comes from a plant called digitalis. These and other FDA-controlled medications could be prescribed by naturopathic doctors, and that would be a dangerous expansion of their scope of practice, which I understand is not the intent of this bill. Some of my patients go to naturopathic doctors, and that is fine with me. But I did have a patient on a strong chemotherapy drug for cancer, and during the period of time when his white blood cell count was at its lowest, he was getting colonics from a naturopathic doctor to reduce the side effect of chemotherapy. And this is a dangerous procedure. Unfortunately, this caused a serious blood infection called sepsis, and he got severely ill, requiring hospitalization. He has done well, but ever since, I now ask patients not to get colonics while they're on chemotherapy. So patient safety must be our utmost concern in this bill. This means doctors of any kind must practice within their scope of education, training, and experience. Allowing naturopath doctors to prescribe prescription drugs controlled by the FDA is a dangerous expansion of their scope of practice, and I believe it is a disservice to the citizens of Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Urata. Questions for Dr. Urata? Senator Pasquin.
Sure. You know, it's my understanding that pharmacies have stopped distributing products in a manner that they had done for the prior 18 years. Is that your understanding as well?
I'm not sure what you're speaking of. Pharmacies do not prescribe.
Have stopped distributing their products to naturopaths, as has been done for the last 18 years.
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
Senator Giesel.
Sorry. Yeah.
Hi, Dr. Urata. Were you the person prescribing the oncologic drug?
Yes. With the oncologist. Yes.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. I wondered, as a family practice, if that was within your scope of practice. But
well,
you answered
yes.
The question.
Yes.
Thank you.
In small communities, family physicians tend to work closely with a specialist in order to provide the care patients need, rather than having to move out of town away from their homes, their friends, and their support.
And that's very understandable. And that's the key,
yeah.
Access to care.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, further questions for Dr. Urata?
Thank you.
Doctor, thank you very much for taking the time to come in and testify. Next, we have on off-net, Dr. Elizabeth Rall from Bethel. Dr. Rall?
How did he leave?
From Bethel. Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome.
Okay.
And Provide your name for the record, please, and give us your testimony.
Sure. My name is Dr. Elizabeth Roll, R-O-L-L, and I'm a family practice physician out here in Bethel, Alaska. I've been here approximately 13 years. I'm calling to testify against this bill. I have several concerns regarding this bill. I really think at this point naturopaths are not medical physicians and really should be prohibited from prescribing prescription drugs that are regulated by the FDA. You know, we have heard that the intent of this bill was not to expand their scope of practice, but the bill's current language does greatly expand their scope of practice. You know, right now this bill is pretty ambiguous on what drugs, you know, if we give them prescriptive authority, they could or could not prescribe. My recommendation would be at this point, since they have not had the training, it is not safe for them to prescribe prescription drugs regulated by the FDA to patients. I've seen several instances where that has happened and not, you know, where they've attempted to do that or had suggestions at that and think bad things have not occurred or bad things have occurred. So I would really like us to, when you guys are considering this bill, to please take that into consideration. Remember what training naturopaths have versus medical physicians and go from there. I'm willing to take questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Roll. Questions for Dr. Roll? Senator Pasquin.
I would just ask the same question of Dr. Roll. Are you aware, doctor, that with respect to naturopaths, that pharmacies have stopped distributing products in the manner that they have done for the last 18 years?
You know, I apologize as well. That is not something I've heard of, and I don't really have any experience with that as well. I've testified on other bills in the past in which naturopaths have, again, asked to advance their scope, and I really feel strongly that that is not a good idea.
Great. Thank you. Further questions?
Okay.
For Dr. Roll. Great, doctor. Thank you very much for taking the time to testify this afternoon.
Yeah, I have to go medevac a patient. So.
Okay, great. Bye. Well, good luck to the patient. Now, moving to Anchorage briefly, Jennifer Young, are you online from Chugiak? Ms. Young, are you online?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, yes, I'm here.
Thank you, and give us your name and provide your testimony, and if you can, we can start to keep it a little briefer.
Yeah, I'll be quick. Mr. Chair, Egan and Labor and Commerce Committee members, thank you for your time and attention to Senate Bill 175. Sorry, I'm a little out of breath. As a cardiac nurse and a patient of Dr. Daniel Young, I see the benefits of allopathic and naturopathic medicine. Hold on. Sorry, I'm a little nervous here. Often I think of, as I care for my patients, you know, they could really stand to have a little naturopathic medicine along with the allopathic medicine to make their outcome better. The naturopathic doctors in this state have undergone rigorous training in order to serve their patients. Please allow them to use the tools of their trade to aid in the health of Alaskans. If these regulations that have been in effect for 18 years are not passed into law, there is a very real chance that Alaskan health care choices will be severely limited. I've been helped by naturopathic medicine myself. I'm actually married to Dr. Daniel Young, so it's very interesting to see both sides of the medical trade, the allopathic and naturopathic. And I guess part of the thing that bothers me is medical doctors don't have the training in the natural substances as the naturopathic physicians do, and they are very helpful, and the choice of many healthcare of people that need healthcare, and I don't think that choice should be taken away because of, in my opinion, fear and bias. I thank you for your time and for all the effort that all of you put into making laws for our state. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Ms. Young, for taking the time to testify. And now I guess we'll call in your husband, Dr. Young. Are you available?
Yes, I'm here.
Great. Welcome. And provide your name and give us your testimony.
Thank you, Senator Egan, and honorable members of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee. My name is Dr. Daniel Young. I am a naturopathic doctor who has been in practice in Eagle River for 17 years. I appreciate the time and efforts of your committee to listen to our concerns. I find it disturbing that another profession can dictate what our profession is allowed to do. I have 26 years of education. I attended a naturopathic medical school that is accredited by the Council of Naturopathic Medical Education, who is overseen by the United States Department of Education. This is the same body that accredits allopathic and osteopathic medical education. There is no doubt that naturopathic doctors are the experts in the practice of their naturopathic medicine. We have practiced in this state for 26 years. We have an excellent safety record. Our current statute is not a good one, but we have made do. On several occasions over the past few years, we have tried to change our law to make it commensurate with our education, only to be stonewalled by the opposition who disseminates misinformation based on opinion, bias, and ignorance and fear. This bill before you does nothing more than preserve the current practice of naturopathic medicine in our state. It allows the thousands of patients that we serve to continue in their right to choose our form of medicine. If this legislation that moves regulation into statute fails to pass, Alaskans will be hurt. We are here to protect their rights to access the medicine we provide. I know of no naturopathic doctors that are getting wealthy from their practice of naturopathic medicine. They practice from their heart a medicine that they believe in and know will work to improve the lives of their patients, Alaskans. As you consider the passage of Senate Bill 175, please remember that naturopathic medicine is safe, effective, and affordable. We do not wish to write for antiquated natural substances as penicillin or digitalis, quinine, or some of these anti-cancer medications. Quite frankly, we have better things to offer. Please move Senate Bill 175 out of committee. Thank you for your time and consideration of my comments.
Great. Thank you very much, Doctor, for your testimony and for sticking around. Questions for Dr. Young? Great. Thank you very much again for testifying. And also on off-net, we have Dr. Joseph Roth, Valley Medical Center in Juneau. Dr. Roth?
Hi.
Hi. Just provide your name and for the record and give us your testimony. And thanks for staying online.
My name is Joseph Roth. I'm a family doctor here in Juneau, Alaska. I was born in Palmer and raised in Sitka. And thank you, Senator Egan, for providing me this opportunity and members of the committee. I would like to speak against the wording of Senate Bill 175. I find the wording to be very ambiguous as to what are prescriptive substances, and that's my main message is there. So I was keeping it brief. Any questions?
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Roth. Questions for the doctor, Senator Pasquin.
You know, doctor, are you aware that pharmacies are not distributing products to naturopaths as has been the case for the last 18 years?
I have to say that I was not aware of it, but it does not surprise me because I know that from some of the committees I sit on that at our hospital that we have been concerned about some of what we would call creep of what naturopaths are starting to prescribe that they do not have, or we have felt that they have not had the education to prescribe, and they have said that, well, these are natural substances, some as what, like Dr. Urata spoke of, a digitalis or Synthroid, a thyroid medication, and the problem has been that we felt that they have been used inappropriately, and so we think that their level of education has not been such that they should be able to prescribe those medications, and they've used them inappropriately, and so I can imagine that the pharmacies are starting to, because they've had some pushback, to say this is inappropriate prescribing practices.
Doctor, do you know the source of that pushback?
I do not know the exact source of that pushback, but I know that in one of the committees, we actually had to review a complaint about a naturopath for using a substance that we...
You know, without getting, doctor, without getting into the explanation, I'm just trying to know whether you know the source of the pushback and what is your...
No, I don't. I don't know if there's some individual or a group or whatever, but I just know that I would assume that there has been a little pushback there.
Great. Further questions for Dr. Roth? Great. Thank you very much for taking the time, doctor, to stand by and testify.
Thank you very much.
Next to testify, Lawrence Smith from Eagle River. Mr. Smith, are you online?
Good afternoon. My name is Lawrence Smith. I am trained and work as a medical doctor in Eagle River, where I have lived for over 18 years. I have served as a physician in the United States Army while stationed at former Fort Richardson, as well as served in Alaska Native Healthcare at South Central Foundation's Primary Care Clinic in Anchorage. I continue to serve in private practice in my local community of Eagle River. I'm a resident here and attended the Alaska Family Medicine Residency in Anchorage. Thank you for allowing this opportunity to share. I want to start by stating that I do not hold any animosity towards those practicing naturopathy. I'm speaking today to urge you as legislators to consider carefully the wording of Senate Bill 175, which you have before you. The word prescription can mean many things. It's generally considered an order or request for another party to respond by fulfilling that request. It can range from a prescription for eyeglasses to recommendations for an exercise or wellness program. What I'm referring to today focuses on prescriptions that are sent to pharmacies or are dispensed within the clinic. It's my belief that the prescribing of drugs and pharmaceutical preparations that require a prescription should be limited to those whose training is designed for such a practice. I believe that allopathic medicine provides the specific training for the prescribing of such medications. I do not presume to have the knowledge of naturopathic preparations to the same degree as those trained in naturopathic medicine and make no such claims to my patients. Likewise, if individuals desire to prescribe or dispense prescription medications, then they should attend medical schools that confer an MD or DO degree. In my practice, I often tell patients that drugs are chemicals and as such they cause side effects. These chemicals are often purified or synthesized in an attempt to maximize the desired side effects while minimizing the undesired side effects. I believe that this is the basis for pharmacology as employed in allopathic medicine. To state that naturally derived substances may be prescribed by naturopaths is not well enough defined, as many drugs that require prescriptive authority have their basis in naturally occurring substances. It's my position that if the FDA or DEA requires a prescription to be written in order for a substance to be dispensed, then this should be left in the hands of those trained in allopathic medicine. Ultimately, our main concern should be for patient care. Patients make many choices about where they choose to receive that care. Limitations need to exist on the scope of practice and delivery of care for all levels of health care providers. Let us not blur the lines of distinction past the point of safety, but rather recognize the distinction with a difference. To state that naturopathic providers should be limited to prescribing substances that are naturally derived is a step in the right direction. However, in writing legislation, I'm certain you are aware that having the right intention is not enough. Your actions are borne out through the wording of legislation, as this will then guide the actions of your constituents. I say this as a reminder to all of us, because good or even great intentions are often not enough. I wish you the very best in your decision-making process, and pray for wisdom for all of our elected officials. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much for testifying, Dr. Smith. Questions for Dr. Smith? Great. Thank you very much, doctor, for sticking around, and thank you for taking the time.
You're very welcome.
And we have five more people that would like to testify, and I urge you to try to keep it brief because we have two more pieces of legislation that we're going to try to at least get introduced today. So next to testify will be Dr. Larry Smith, Eagle River. Dr. Smith.
Actually, that should be an error because
never mind.
Which is my legal name.
So there's a Larry and a Lawrence, too. Okay.
You just got rid of one really quickly.
Right, and you're from Palmer and Eagle River. It's close. Okay, thank you. Sorry, I apologize.
Thanks.
Great, thank you. Thanks for the brevity. Next to testify, Dr. Mary Ann Folland. Dr. Folland.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to share some concerns about this bill. I'm Mary Ann Folland. I'm a family practitioner. I work at Primary Care Associates in Anchorage, and I've been in Alaska since 1977. I'm speaking today as the president of the Alaska State Medical Association, representing doctors from around the state, and also past president of the Alaska Academy of Family Physicians. Both of those have their primary concern, the health of Alaskans. I ask you, please don't interpret the lack of multiple letters and calls from physicians and our patients as disinterest in this bill. On the contrary, we've been following intently because this issue has potential to have tremendous and irreversible impact on patient safety. We've been working with members of the Senate and the House without a lot of contention and acrimony to help clarify the issue and come to an acceptable compromise. This is certainly not an issue of turf protection or competition. In past years, on related bills, we've presented testimony and data to support the significant differences in training and supervised clinical experience between physicians and naturopaths. That's available if you would like more copies. That's the basis of our concerns about scope of practice. The stated goal of this bill seems so simple, to preserve the status quo. However, it's not as straightforward as it seems. The devil is often in the details, and apparently there were details that the Division of Professional Licensing found recently concerning current prescriptive practices by naturopaths across the state. There is no easy button here. The reality is that the language would actually expand the prescriptive privileges beyond what is currently legal and would expand it to a nebulous limit. The good news is that you have the opportunity to clarify and define those limits. The phrase any natural substance is vague, and I've asked PhD pharmacologists and registered pharmacists what that means to them, and they couldn't give me answers. They said that it was far too extensive of a list. It includes things, however, that were mentioned by Dr. Urata and Dr. Brown, insulin, steroids, countless other medications, hormones, birth control pills. It would be helpful to have an exclusive wish list, what the naturopaths want to prescribe, and we could then evaluate and research each thing on that list scientifically. What I've previously heard requested were things like vitamin B12, vitamin C, saline, capsaicin in certain percentages, and the general opinion of the doctors I've talked to is that those would be fine. Medications listed by the FDA as prescription drugs, which by definition require a prescription by a licensed physician, would not be okay. It has never been the intent of the State Medical Association or the Academy of Family Physicians to restrict or shut down the practices of naturopaths. That is simply not on our agenda. We really want to clarify what has been happening going into the future. It is necessary to figure out what substances specifically can be used within an appropriate scope of practice. To me, it's like if I'm driving down the Glen Highway and the speed is 65 and I've gone 85 miles an hour and been safe and feel in control, I don't get to set my own speed limit. Because then I would have to trust the guy sitting next to me to set his speed limit, and that might be kind of scary. So I encourage you to consider carefully this bill and set an appropriate speed limit and look at scope of practice. Others can better address administrative issues. Yes?
Thank you, Dr. Folland. Question for you from Senator Pascan.
Doctor, are you aware that the other natural substances language has been removed?
Yes, I heard that just now at the beginning of this testimony.
Okay, so in other words,
there's still room for some clarification, however.
Okay, well, let me ask the question. Are you aware that pharmacies, with respect to naturopaths, are not distributing products as they've done over the last 18 years?
Yes, I have listened.
And what is the source, doctor, what do you understand is the source of or the reason why the pharmacies have stopped distributing?
My understanding is that when the Division of Corporation Business and Professional Licensing was looking into the issue, they found that there were prescriptive practices that made them uncomfortable.
So if I understand what you're saying without getting into the detail, you're saying that the source of the pharmacy ceasing to distribute products is the Division of Corporations?
That's my understanding.
Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Senator Davis. Senator Davis.
Would you expand on that a little further? You said that they've had that information, and what did they do when they found out? Did they tell you that they sent letters out to stop the practice, or what?
I just heard that in the testimony when I was listening to the previous testimonies of last week, and I would think that question would need to be answered by the division.
Well, we've asked
don't
that.
Know all the specifics about that.
That question has been asked of the division, and they denied that they have sent out anything and wasn't aware of where it came from. But you seem to have some inside information that has not been given to us by the division.
I don't feel like I have any inside information. The information I have was from listening to the previous bills, both the hearings in the House and the Senate. I don't remember which one that came from.
I don't want to dispute your testimony because you did just give it. We'll read it again. But from what I got out of it, you stated that it was said to you. I don't know because you're the president of the association or if it was said to the entire body, that there was a reason why they had a concern and something was sent out voicing that concern. So therefore, they were not able to get the prescriptions that they have been getting for the last 18 years.
I would again have to defer that back to the Division of Corporation Business and Professional Licensing. The only information I have was from listening to testimony at the previous hearing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Davis. Further questions for Dr. Bowen? Great. Thank you very much, Doctor. We have three more people to testify. I really want to wrap up the testimony so we can get on to introduction of other pieces of legislation. And it looks like we're going to have to, and we've talked about this, going to have to hold this and take final action Tuesday of next week. But we are going to get this bill out of this committee next Tuesday. We've had too many meetings on this bill, and it's time to make a decision. Next to testify, we have three more. We have Jim Jordan. Mr. Jordan, are you online?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, thank you. For the record, my name is Jim Jordan. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska State Medical Association, and I have not seen the complete text of the CS, and I think before we offer an opinion on that, we'd like to take a little closer look. However, the one thing that I will mention very briefly, and I know that you're on a tight time frame, is that we feel that we perhaps have a pathway to narrow the discussion, and the beginning of that pathway is to define the term prescription drug. And the suggestion is that we use a definition of prescription drug that's found in the FDA statutes and regulations. And I think that could be part of the issue as far as clarifying and making it more constant in application between the medical community, if you will, and the pharmacies. And with that, I'll leave it at that for any questions.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Jordan. Questions for Mr. Jordan? Great. Thank you very much for providing your Senator Giesel.
Mr. Jordan, just for clarification, the reference to prescription drug occurs in things that naturopath cannot do. So you might take a look at the CS, and that might assuage some of your concerns.
Through the chair, Senator Giesel, thank you. But I also believe that there are some FDA definitions that will apply to those other areas of drugs that are regulated by the FDA, that which I would also suggest be considered, again, to clarify those areas that do not need prescriptive authority under the FDA regs. And I think that would also help clarify things. And in addition to that, I think that in this process, we might want to also take a look at amending the regulations and statutes, or particular statutes, that pertain to the pharmacies, I should say. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Jordan. Further questions? Thank you, Senator Giesel. Next to testify, We have two more left. Amy Chadwick, online from Matsu LIO. Ms. Chadwick, are you still available?
Yes, I am.
Great, thank you.
My name is Dr. Amy Chadwick. I'm a naturopathic doctor here in Palmer, serving the Matsu community for the past 6 years. Hopefully, to keep this brief, I would completely agree with Dr. Young's testimony. Our education is extensive, both in human anatomy, physiology, disease, and the use of natural medicine. We are well trained in this arena. We're asking to be able to maintain our current standards of practice that we've had for the last 18 years. We are not asking to expand our scope of practice. Many of the examples used here of medications that could potentially fall are antiquated and wouldn't be used anyway by a responsible physician. I appreciate your time, Senator Egan and honorable members.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. Chadwick, for being brief. Questions for the doctor? Great. Amy, thank you very much for sticking around, taking the time to testify. And the last person we have signed up to testify is Kristen Cox. Kristen, I apologize. I didn't know you were in the audience or we would have taken you earlier.
Hello. Thank you for hearing my testimony. Dr. Kristen Cox. I live in Juneau, Alaska, and practice right down the street. I came to Juneau in 1995 as an AmeriCorps volunteer. I went away to medical school and came back to make this my home. I practiced for a year. I did a residency in Fairbanks, Alaska, and have practiced safely here in Juneau for the last 10 years under the current statute and regulations as they're written. As you know, we're just trying to move our current regulations into statute. The language is virtually exactly the same. None of these horror stories have come to pass as it has been written for the last 18 years, and I don't see really why anything would change if we move that exact language into statute. You know, I have a few things to say, but I know we're in a hurry, so maybe I'll submit more complete testimony in writing. I've served 564 patients in the city of Juneau, safely without any problems. It's very frustrating to me that in a day when what we need is more expanded access to safe, affordable health care, that we're here fighting to preserve our already limited scope of practice that we've had for 18 years. I don't know if you guys saw that the Wall Street Journal just this week wrote an article estimating that there's going to be a 30,000 shortage of general practitioners in this nation in the next couple of years. That's a very serious crisis, and the reason there's a shortage is because general medicine doesn't pay that like specialties do. But naturopathic doctors choose to be general practitioners. We go into this field knowing we will never make the kind of money that medical doctors do. We provide a very valuable service. We provide access to care that patients don't otherwise have and oftentimes can't afford other healthcare options. Thank you for hearing my testimony. Please support this bill.
Great. Thanks, Dr. Cox. Thanks for taking the time to stick around. Thank you. And that completes people that have signed up to testify. And we're going to hold this until the meeting Tuesday and take action. But I would like to close public testimony. Senator Pasquin.
You know, I don't mind if the public testimony is closed. You know, I'd be willing to move it now, but I'm willing to also wait until Tuesday. If we wait until Tuesday, my focus right now is with the Division of Corporations.
I want Ms. Chambers and Mr. Habiger back in this committee room Tuesday to answer the questions that have been brought up now twice.
Well, and I'll make it even a little more focused. Okay. In other words, if they haven't, my perception is that the pharmacies have ceased distributing products to naturopaths as they've done for the last 18 years. If the division hasn't done anything to correct what appears to be a wrong, then the question is how long do they do nothing before they become an active participant in that wrong? That's the first question. And then the second question is how long can the division do nothing before their plausible deniability erodes to nothing? So I want to have answers to those questions.
Thank you for your attorney speak. But I agree with you, Senator Pasquin. So I'm assuming, Sarah, that you can get those folks back here, including yourself. And there are a whole bunch of people in the audience that will answer questions, but we're going to take this up first thing Tuesday and get it out of here. But we want to hear from the division. Great. We'll take a brief at ease. The meeting of Senate Labor and Commerce.
Definition in there.
If you, and next we have up Senate Bill 25. Senator Lisa McGuire, welcome back to the House. Congratulations, I think.
Thank
Senator
you.
McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Pawlowski. Chairman and members of the committee. And I am here with my chief of staff, Michael Pawlowski. And we do have a PowerPoint here, but I'll just start out by I want to start out by thanking the committee as members of the Senate for their work in the past on energy and let you know that I feel Senate Bill 25 is one of these final pieces that we initially envisioned being part of our energy package that this Senate passed. It's a missing link, and I hope you join me after hearing about it in co-sponsoring it and taking success for it. Our caucus has certainly defined itself on this one issue. As you know, Mr. Chairman, we've created the wildly successful weatherization and home energy rebate program, and that focuses on individual Alaskans and their residences, their homes, helping to keep them more energy efficient. And the feedback has been wonderful from Alaskans that have become educated about energy conservation and then, of course, made those much-needed investments. We've also created a renewable energy grant fund that's started helping particularly our smaller communities transition to cleaner, sustainable energy. Again, that is non-diesel and hopefully will help them survive into the next 100, 200 years. We also passed an energy policy and omnibus bill that created an emerging energy technology fund and a suite of programs that are now really starting to take effect. And if you remember when we went over the energy package, I came at it from a few angles, saying that we can look at direct grants, direct partnerships as in the weatherization program, direct grants as in the emerging energy technology fund, but there's also a loan component. We've begun to tackle it with commercial loans in other areas, but this is really the missing piece that I think that we need to do in order to get more energy infrastructure and projects going here in the state, new jobs and new sources of energy. We've also rejuvenated the Cook Inlet with new tax incentives and started work on an in-state gas pipeline and Susitna Dam. But as we sit here today, Alaskans know that the energy challenges are still as dire as ever. This year, the average price of oil is the highest it's been since 1860, and that's in terms of the whole year annual average. And while the state enjoys its surpluses, Alaskans themselves in the economy continue to be strangled by these energy costs. I introduced Senate Bill 25 because I truly believe that we have an opportunity to put some of the savings that we have in our savings fund to work in Alaska by making capital available for energy projects. Today, our utilities and developers borrow money from out of state when they can get the credit to build projects with interest that they must pay to investors, and which we all ultimately pay in our rates, and they leave Alaska. So as you listen to the PowerPoint about asset. I want assets. I want you to think that it's not just about getting more energy sources, more energy projects in Alaska, more jobs, but it's also about getting Alaskans to invest in Alaska. Currently, those loan interest payments are paid to out-of-state corporations, as I said. Why not leave them here at home inside ADA, which pays back assets, back dividends to the state, going to our general fund that is then distributed. At the same time, we take our surpluses and savings and invest in stocks, bonds, real estates, and infrastructure outside of the state in the permanent fund, as we know. We're a big facilitator of a lot of energy projects throughout the United States and, frankly, throughout the world, but not right here in our own state. Territorial Governor Ernest Greening recognized this fundamental problem with Alaska's economy when he said once simply that too much is going out and not enough is staying here in Alaska. I've introduced Senate Bill 25, Assets, which stands for Alaska's Sustainable Strategy for Energy Transmission and Supply, to try to chip away at this colonial model that I feel Alaska is still stuck in 52 years later after statehood. And that's my ultimate purpose here. Again, my committee aide is here, and I'm here to answer questions. I think the last point I want to leave you with is just an overarching point about why ADA. ADA, to me, in my time in the legislature, has been the most successful of all of our investment programs and banks out there. It's returned almost the entire principal now, $390 million back in dividends, and last year alone, it returned almost $28 million. So we decided to put this energy program to work under that rubric as opposed to AEA or others because we thought it had a creditworthy, sustainable model.
Mr. Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Michael Pawlowski, and I'm aide to Senator Lisa McGuire. In the interest of the committee's time, I'll try and move through this PowerPoint very quickly so you can get to the people that have come here to testify, just hitting the highlights because members have it in their packets and can go back and look at it. Just a quick disclaimer very quickly, the reports that we gave the committee are large energy reports that identify a lot of projects. In no way is this bill an endorsement of any particular project that is within those. This is about how to finance all and any projects to let the best projects move forward. Quick agenda, walk through the selected reports on capital, financing, the legislative history, and an introduction to Senate Bill 25. I can jump through these fairly quickly, but the larger reports that we provided the committee come down to a basic challenge, and that's that a lot of money will have to be spent in the next 10 years on energy in the state of Alaska. The pathway document was prepared in 2010, identified almost $2 billion in capital spending in the next 10 years. The Rail Belt Integrated Resource Plan identified between $13.6 and $21 billion in spending over the term of that document. The recently released Southeast Integrated Resource Plan identified up to $1.4 billion in relative near-term spending that has to happen. The point really of these reports is to point out that a lot of infrastructure investment will need to be made in energy infrastructure, and the question before the legislature is, given declining oil production, how much revenue will really be available, or do you need something a little more sustainable in the long term to help these projects go forward? And the reason this became, I think, a larger issue is last year this body in the capital budget included language that explicitly expressed legislative intent that the state's capital investment in energy generation projects not exceed 50% of the total investment required to fully complete those projects. That means 50% of the project will have to be borrowed. And in borrowing, the work that the legislature and our agencies have done have identified financing as one of the greatest challenges facing the energy system here in the state of Alaska. The graph on the PowerPoint for you is from the Integrated Rail Belt Integrated Resource Plan or the Alaska Energy Pathways document. And the point being that with a small population, with a limited rate base, the capital expenditures that will have to happen in the rail belt versus the debt capacity of the utilities, there is a large gap between what is needed and what they can finance. So the governor and the legislature, to add one more thing, financing is an important part of the revenue stream in any energy project. What you see here is selected from the Southeast Integrated Resource Plan. And looking at the cost of a fully financed hydro project that's 100% debt financed, debt service comes up to 78.1% of the revenues. That's all the rates that consumers are paying is going to pay off the debt service. And that money is leaving the state of Alaska. So assets really says this is a big problem. the legislature itself has said, tackle it, provide an upper limit on grants, and let's move forward. So the legislature and the governor have tried to deal with this a few times, though been unsuccessful in a couple of bills. Senate Bill 143 tried to get the rail belt together, offered some financing. That failed to pass the legislature in, I believe that was 2009-2010. The governor then brought in Senate Bill 42 last year, which had some increased financing authorities for AEA. Those were taken out in the Senate Resources Committee. The bill ultimately passed the legislature, but was limited to a Susitna Dam or power project. Senate Bill 25 was introduced at the same time as 42 was introduced last year, but deferred until 42 went through the body. Now that this gap still exists in financing, a sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 25 was introduced and brought forward. Working with ADA over the interim, what Senate Bill 25 does, unfortunately in drafting, you have to follow by statute. The way this bill really is the back three sections are probably the most important. That's 10, 11, 12, but the earlier sections are a lot of conforming language. So to make it a bit easier for the committee, I've tried to put sort of a reverse sectional in place here. So you'll see, number one, Senate Bill 25 creates the Sustainable Energy Transmission and Supply Development Program and Fund within the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority. Those are sections 10 and 11 of the bill. The bill proposes that the SETS fund be capitalized with $250 million. That's in Section 2. That would provide the core capital that then becomes the money with which ADA can borrow against and lend out to energy projects. Then the larger portion of the bill in Section 3 is really conforming language to ADA's existing statutes, and that's to add the word energy into their enabling statutes about the mission of ADA, just to clarify that the legislature is asking ADA to take an active role in energy as an economic development tool. Section 6 makes changes to the loan participation program, and this is intended to make sure that Sections 10 and 11 don't unfairly compete with the private sector. ADA currently offers a model in which commercial lending institutions work with the private sector, but ADA comes in behind them to participate in the loans. The purpose of the amendments that are made within Section 6 by moving it from transmission to an energy project more broadly is to make sure that if someone did want to work with a commercial lending institution to develop a project, it's not unfairly being competed with by the SETS program. So it's to keep the commercial lending in the event that they want to be involved in energy projects separate from the fund being created in Section 10 and 11. Another important point within that section is the inclusion of a loan to finance energy efficiency improvements in ADA's ability to participate in a loan participation program. Typically, ADA can buy up to 90% of a loan. The bill proposes in Section 6 that up to 100% for an energy efficiency project. That is to try and get at a problem the legislature has poked around at for 3 years now, primarily that we have weatherization for homes. We have the Energy Efficiency Revolving Loan Fund for public facilities, but very little for the commercial sector. So if a local business wants to make their business more energy efficient, they could work with their local banks, and ADA could step in to help the banks reduce the risk of that loan. Finally, adding in Section 9, the existing incentive interest rate program that ADA has for its programs apply only to economic development or rural development projects. Wanted to be very clear that they could also apply to renewable energy projects. So you can offer, ADA would be able to offer a special interest rate. There are some very important powers added in Section 10 of the bill. And Section 10, for members, is all the way back on page 9. I'm sorry, page 8. And that's starting on line 3 through line 28. Unlike ADA's existing programs, the separate fund has the power to finance projects, ensure project obligation, guarantee loans or bonds, or establish reserves, but also to defer principal payments or capitalize interest on project financing, to finance projects of a term up to 30 years or 50 years for hydroelectric or transmission. ADA can currently do 50 years on transmission, but as I'm sure the members from Southeast are well aware, hydro projects are long-term projects with long-term payouts, and the longer you can stretch the term out, the better rates that the customers ultimately will pay. However, Senator McGuire challenged to be sure that there was an appropriate legislative role in the decisions to finance projects. So limitations were placed on the power of ADA to engage in these projects. If ADA wants to finance more than one-third of the capital cost of an energy project or guarantee a loan that exceeds $20 million, that would have to come back for legislative approval. The $20 million is a number that exists in current ADA programs. The one-third number is really because 50% would be 50% grants, 50% loans. And the point was to ensure that there was some other financing involved in the decision process, so another third-party group is actually doing some due diligence here. As Senator McGuire said, the reason that the bill was put into ADA is that unlike typical revolving loan funds, in theory, the bill should actually generate revenues for the state as ADA earnings increase. That would return money to the Treasury that then the legislature could decide to fund other programs with. Since it's been capitalized, ADA has paid $324,500,000 in dividends. As you see in 2011, that was almost $20 million. How SETS will work within ADA, I've tried to do a simple 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 step program here. Basically, the legislature would capitalize the SETS fund. ADA would use the SETS fund to facilitate the financing of energy projects. Those projects, through the rates, would repay the loans or the investments from ADA. ADA would then have the ability to also reach out to the capital markets to backfill the fund by using the loans as an asset. So it's really setting up an investment vehicle that can perpetuate itself and grow so that 20, 30 years from now, the funding exists to build the infrastructure to replace the infrastructure that was built through this fund. That's as quick as I can do a summary, Mr. Chairman, and happy to work with the committee through the bill. But I think it's important to note that Senate Bill 25 is not the answer to Alaska's energy challenges. There's always going to be a role for the legislature because of simply the small size and the population. But it does provide a tool that is missing from all the work that the legislature
has done. Wonderful time of the year.
In the years. And with that,
sure, it sure is.
I will stop.
That was your cue.
That was my cue to stop, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thanks, Fish.
Is everything okay?
Everything's
fine. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Davis.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move the CS that we have before us. It's version D as in dog.
Mr.
Substitute? Yes.
Great. Thank you, Senator Davis. And I'll object and we'll take public testimony.
Thank you.
Again, thank you, Mr. Pawlowski, and thank you, Senator McGuire. We have 7 people signed up to testify. We have 14 minutes. We have to end this meeting just before 3, or we're going to continue it next week. We'll continue it again, but we'll continue public testimony. So first to testify from the Anchorage LIO, Joe Griffith. Mr. Griffith, representing MEA and Arctic, are you still online?
That I am, Mr. Chairman.
Or you're the one that was saying it was a wonderful day.
Great. Yes.
If you could state your name for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
My name is Joe Griffith. I am the general manager of Matanuska Electric and the president of Arctic. Our address, 163 East Industrial Way in Palmer. I'll not repeat anything that Fish has already given you. I have looked at his briefing. I think he's right on point. It's a pleasure to speak in support of SB 25. It's a legislative step that I believe will contribute to a more sustainable energy future for our state. You may not know, but the energy business is the world's biggest industry and the most capital-intensive industry, and such is the case in Alaska. In spite of a lot of heroic efforts by a very small number of people that run this industry in the state, we do achieve very high levels of reliability, but the system is old and needs a lot of tender love and care. It never was completed properly because of a lack of capital. It is only through astute balancing of the costs of doing business that we're able to keep it working as well as we do. Electrical energy is the grease for our economy. You've probably heard me say that before. SB 25 would help fill our grease guns by leveraging up several billion dollars. Now, you haven't seen much leverage use in the state because we haven't had that opportunity. This would give this to us. You've seen Fish's numbers, and they're staggering, what it's going to take to make our system what it should have been a long time ago. Working together the utilities do not have the fiscal strength, the debt capacity to do what's necessary. If you pass SB 25, it will help start the process to get the necessary efforts underway so that in the future we will have a reliable, sustainable electrical system. Our people need it, our system demands it, and our economy won't operate without it. Please pass SB 25, and let's collectively get the ball rolling on this effort. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Griffith, for your testimony. Questions for Mr. Griffith? Seeing none, Joe, thank you very much for sticking around and providing testimony. Next to testify off-net is Bob Grimm, Alaska Power and Telephone. Mr. Grimm, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll make my comments real quick. We believe that SB 25 is a good tool to assist in getting the stranded energy resources of Alaska to market and put them to work for Alaskans. We would only request that consideration be given also to the projects in the rural areas, and would like to see the amount of the fund be increased from what is being proposed. Further, we would like the sponsor to investigate the program to ensure that ADA can cooperate with other federal loan guarantee programs like the BIA to reduce the state's risk. Thank you very much. Please support SB 25.
Great. Thanks, Bob, for your brevity, and we appreciate you sticking around as well. And he's promised that he'll keep it very brief. Mark Davis from ADA. Very brief, Mark. Kids. Fish did a good job on your behalf.
For the record, my name is Mark Davis, and I am with ADA. Thanks, the Chairman. I'm here to offer only technical comments. The technical comment basically is that we think it's much better than the earlier draft because it creates a new financing program. That's important to ADA because it would separate these potential loans from our current revolving loan and preserve our current financial ratings. There are some technical issues. The interest rate on a loan is not set. There's no explicit authority to make a loan. There's no explicit authority to issue a bond. And there's no reference to revenue bonds. So there's probably a lot of work that could be done in this bill to make it better. That's my testimony.
Great. Thanks, Mr. Davis. Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Davis, will you be offering those amendments or working with the sponsor?
If Senator Giesel, the Chair, if I am been authorized to make technical assistance.
Excellent.
The bill sponsor.
Thank you.
So I'm assuming that the administration or ADA isn't opposed to this.
The administration has no position on this.
I figured. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Davis. And don't leave yet, though. Next to testify, Duff Mitchell, Alaska Independent Power Producers Association. Mr. Mitchell, welcome. Thanks for sticking around, Duff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, committee. I've prepared a longer testimony, but we've submitted some comments in support of the bill from the organization. I just want to add one component because this is the labor and commerce. This allows private entrepreneurs to also create jobs, and that's very important. And a lot of these jobs would, in fact, occur where the energy is created, which would be in rural. And we all know that jobs are number one in a lot of people's minds, especially with my Senator Egan, with the redistricting that's gone on in our region. We need to rebuild our region, so we ask for, he doesn't have to run, but everyone else does. But I want to just state that we support this also from the jobs creation aspect. Thank you very much.
Great, and thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell, and if you can provide your written testimony to Dana in my office, and we'll make sure that all members get a copy of it, and including the bill sponsor.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Duff, for sticking around. Next, Peter Norros. And just Mr. Losher, Bob, you're next, right after Peter. Okay, great. Peter Norros, representing Kootsville, Inc. Peter,
thank
welcome.
Thank you, Senator Egan, members of the committee. My name is Peter Norros. I'm live at 4660 Thane Road here in Juneau. I'm here to testify in support of Senate Bill 25. I've watched it for the past couple of years, anxious for it to go through the Senate and become law. There are some changes that I've noted. I'd like the gentleman who spoke a few minutes ago would like to see it higher. And but I understand for now, in terms of the money, $250 million can go a long way. And I think that's really the main point here, is leveraging state assets not only to do good work, but to bring private capital in. And that's what we need to do. We can't fund everything as a state ourselves. And that's really where we've seen it. We appreciate the grant funds. We appreciate some of the other programs that are out there. But the ability to attract private capital is paramount in our mind. We are a native corporation, the Village Corporation for Angoon, and we're the recipient of some of the state's largesse and hopefully some more, and we appreciate that. However, there are other projects that need to get done in our area that are bigger projects, and those projects are the ones that are finally going to make the state mature. And it will bring in not only allow for say, Kootsinawu to invest in state, but it will allow mining interests that we know to invest in state, get projects that maybe aren't feasible right now to invest. It will allow timber interests to invest in state, and so on. It's really a critical piece. As Senator McGuire said earlier, it's a critical piece. To us, it's a necessary tool, and we really appreciate all the work that Senator McGuire has done and her staff. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Morales. And last to testify this afternoon, Robert Loescher. Bob, welcome to the committee. Nice to have you.
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Bob Loescher. I have a company called Alaska Technology Development Group, and I've been involved in economic development and energy and other infrastructure development in southeastern Alaska for many, many, many years. I come to the committee today to support this bill. I served on the ADA board for 6 years and very familiar with the protocols and the even-handedness of investment decisions that ADA makes. I believe that ADA, through this this bill, can help stimulate investment in energy and other economic development, create jobs, and I think that's very important. Adding this to ADA would strengthen ADA's portfolio and bring investment from the Alaska participation point of view greater. It's not to say that ADA works very cooperatively with the Alaska banks and other investors across the nation through the loan portfolio procedure, but also through the bond either direct or indirect financing through bonds and loan guarantees. And I really believe that ADA is the best instrument to facilitate this kind of investment and keep Alaska handhold on our future. And I think we really need to participate as Alaskans, and outside investment is critical, and the public and private partnerships that are facilitated by ADA in the investment in Alaska is really great. As you can witness, the Alaska Anchorage airports, all of the tourism development across the nation, the new ports and harbors that ADA has helped facilitate through bond financing across Alaska, all of that proves true that when Alaskans are involved in investment in Alaska, we're more successful, and I think this bill will do that, and I encourage you to adopt it. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you very much, Bob, and for taking the time to come in and testify. We appreciate what you've done for Southeast and the state of Alaska. Mr. Loescher, it was a pleasure to have you here in the audience today. That completes public testimony, and we will adjourn at 2:58. Okay. 2 minutes early.